as we sing to our Creator, our blessed God, revealed to us through His Word, and that's what we're going to get a hold of. Why don't everybody get a hold of God's Word, a copy of the Bible in your hand as we open it up, and I do believe, honestly, that the Word teaches us to be worshipers. We don't worship to get ready for the Word as much as that Word readies our heart to worship. And that's what it's all about. We were created to worship. Last week we had a little blessings of encouragement, and I hope that was a blessing through this week and in the midst of all that goes on. Encouragement is such a blessing, and whatever that was to you, hopefully that got you to this next day, a week later. And today I want to maybe get to you about your motivation. I want us to talk a little bit about what motivates us, what gets us up, what gets us down on the ground with 2 feet and heading towards some goal, some plan, some vision. You know, I think about motivation as it comes to mind, and I'm thinking about athletes. You know, we have all these world-class athletes that are now giving their stories over the last 100 years, and we hear these stories and how they get up. And I mean, they're working since they've been 4 years old, you know, 12 hours a day in the weights and getting out their skills, developing. Some of them are obviously more gifted than others, but the work is much nonetheless. And from athletes all the way to simple family men, motivation is the thing that is needed to get up and go forward. And really the motivation of human beings pushes one along on each step of your path. And some motivation is good. You know, changing the course of your life. I've gotten in a corner somewhere, in a pit, and it's time to stop this and get up and change that course, and I gotta get some motivation under me. How about succeeding in your education or your business, in those athletics? There's that goal-oriented motivation. Making a difference in one's family. I'm not going to be like I was a generation ago. We're not going to do what my grandpa did. I'm tired of that. We're going to change it. No more adultery. No more just heathenism. We're going in a different direction. But then on the other side, there's some motivation that's not so good. Motivation of revenge. I'm going to get back that person who did that to me. I'm going to get them. How about those selfish desires? I have that thing I need, that thing I want, and no one's going to get in my way, and I'm going to roll over whoever it is. And the gain, motivation for the gain at any cost. Those aren't good motivations. Either way, a person's direction advances as the motivation gives the strength. And as Christians, we're no different than anyone in the world. What motivates our walk, as far as motivation, by the way, what motivates our walk with Christ is the very same thing, those goals, those desires. And as you become more like Christ, what are you being motivated by? Is it just that thing that I want to do, or whatever keeps me busy, passes the time? Or is it a biblical focus? Are you motivated by the things that God's Word describes as what we should step towards? Are you, maybe on the other side of that, you're motivated by stereotypes in church world? I've got to be this way. I've got to look a certain way. I've got to act this way. So I'm going to get there through this. And that leads to sometimes being motivated by religious rituals. The Pharisees that we talk so often about, how the rules and the laws coming more and more, it never stopped for them, and they got off course of their original intention. And so maybe this morning, as we go forward, I got a question for you. As your walk, as you follow God, for those of you who have been crossing over the line of salvation, what is your motivation? What leads you? And how would you rank your passion and commitment to Jesus Christ? Scale of 1 to 10. 1 being low, not really passionate, just kind of, I come here maybe. I get you a 1. Or you get to 10. And I'm on fire for God, man. He's just rocking my world. And man, I'm just being loyal to surrender the closer. I want it more and more. We think of people in the Bible like David and Paul and Peter and John. Those men of God who know that God has something more for me. 1 to 10. What is your passion like today? And I'm not talking about last week or 3 years from now or ago or 10 years ago. I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about what was. Talking about what is. You know, today we're going to look at what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. And really, Paul was a 10. We all understand that, right? Number 10 on the list. Paul was right up there. His passion was dead, did not die. He was sown fast. He was going forward. And he was not going to get sidetracked by anybody or anything. So if we're a 1 to 10, wherever we're at, my next question might be, as motivation goes, which direction are you going? Some of you may be 10s right now, but you're kind of losing that fire. I'm not really doing what I used to do, and boy, I really want to, but I'm kind of busy right now. But maybe some of you are a 1 and hearing this and going, I don't want to be like that anymore. I'm done just coming to church once a week. I want to go forward in Christ. See, your direction is almost more important than the number you're at right now. So maybe that's getting us to think a little bit. I hope your passion is stirred up today. My hope is that seeing Paul's writings here in Galatians and 2 Corinthians, that the spirit-filled, devil-stopping, tongue-talking follower of Jesus Christ that Paul was, you could be that too. I want that in our lives. I want that in my life. Some of you aren't so sure, huh? You're kind of looking at me like, I don't know about that. Well, let's get fired up, amen? Let's get fired up about Jesus Christ. Man, there's a whole bunch of nonsense going outside. You're going to walk out into a world of nonsense. At least let's get fired up in here and have some smoke behind us. Amen?
That's right.
We all need that. Tell your neighbor, I need that. I need that. I need that much more than you all do too. Now we're going to look at what caused that flame to burn hot for Paul. And I wanted to hopefully send you out with a new motivation, a few points that will bless you. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you that your word stirs us up. That your word comes forth with a truth that is revealing, that is challenging, that is encouraging, and sometimes, yes, you do chasten us through it. So God, let us be ones that lay it down and say, whatever you want, Potter, have your way, we're the clay. I must decrease so you can increase. And let that start here in these very words that we're going to hear from your word. And I pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, what?
Amen.
Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to head into, I'm just going to give you a few motivations, what motivates you. You can start with this one. The first motivation for us as followers of Jesus Christ, here it is, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read, let's start with verse 9. I want to go up a little bit. So, verse 9, it says, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a place we're all going, everybody. And the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are all well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciousness. The fear of the Lord, the terror of the Lord. Now that's a motivator. A lot of people don't want to hear about that God. Oh, I don't like that God. That whole terrible thing, that whole fearful thing of, man, I don't like, that's not my God's love. Well, we're going to get to that in a moment. But see, loved ones, God's not joking. God's not joking. You see, there's a good and a bad. There's an evil and a good. There's an understanding that Jesus came to die on the cross for your sins for a reason. It wasn't just I could go through life and hope and wish and think. This is life or death for each one of us. Any one of us can walk out this door and that's it. Your life is done. And I hate to say it, but your life isn't done because there's an eternity waiting for you on the other side of you closing your eyes in this body. And as we understand that, that should produce a fear, an awe, a reverence. And you're like, oh, that's kind of making me afraid, Pastor. Perfect. Perfect. Because that's a good motivator. You see, there's a real accounting coming soon. We're going to stand before that judgment seat. And no matter who you are, who you think you was, you're going to come face to face with the one who knows exactly who you are and were. There's a reckoning, and it's coming. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. But Pastor, that's that Old Testament. Can't we unhitch from that part of the Bible, and can't we go forward? No, we cannot, because that's in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:31 says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I don't like that part. Maybe that's just one verse. Maybe the writer of that Hebrews thing was, no, incorrect. Because Hebrews 10:31 says our God is a consuming fire. He's not messing around. He's not joking. He wants us to see who he is so we can see who we are and then see who Jesus is. Loved ones, we've been conditioned in church world to think, oh, I'm a pretty good person and I got this thing going. But I don't want you just to stay there. If you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, if you believed and repented of your sin and turned and following him, amen. But I don't want you to stay there. We're moving from a postmodern society where kind of what's right for you isn't really right for me. And we're going into this post-truth and we're seeing it in our world now that I don't really care if there's a truth or not. Yeah, it might be true, but I don't care. And we're seeing it in the church. And that's a bad plan. Paul says not only are we to know who he is, Jesus, but God knows us. God knows us. Verse 11, look at that. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm going to show them there's a sin issue in their lives. But here it is, but we are all well known to God. See, God knows us. Well known to us. So let your conscience attest to the truth of God. And let us be convicted. And if you're saved, praise God, but let us not stay there. Verse 12 says, we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. Look, I'm telling you all something. We're interacting with a world that doesn't all know who Jesus is. And they're watching us. And Christians may have an outward appearance to be able to boast to some people, but we are not to be able to boast in those things. If you boast because of your outward appearance, because you're good, that's not good either. It's not how much Bible you know. It's not how much ministry you've done. It's not how you hang with that right crowd. You have a churchy crowd. Testifying to the glory of God is different than bragging on yourself. So when I'm giving an account of what God's doing in my life, I have no understanding of conceit. It's not about me. When I attest to what God's doing, I'm not boasting in those things. I'm boasting in God. And there's a difference there. There's a difference, and you have a fear of God, and you have a reverence from God, and an awe of God, and that begins to come out. Not that you're afraid and cowering, because in Christ Jesus we have that relationship again. But we know who God is. It's what's in our heart. In verse 13 he goes on, for if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. Or if we are of a sound mind, it is for you. Look, if I sound crazy, that's because of God. I'm talking to you about the things of God. You don't all understand it. But if I sound kind of like I can relate to this, it's for you, so you do understand it. Isn't it true that God calls us to do things that people who don't get it will never get? Think about that. I hope some of your life has that. I hope some things you do is like, I don't know why I'm doing this and nobody's going to get it, but God's telling me to do it. And it's for his glory. That's okay. You go for it. Have you ever noticed that over the amount of opposition that comes into Paul's ministry, he was out there doing the things of God, but did you ever read about him spending some problem time, you know, time in the sea, the whippings, the killings? I mean, he was down. There were some things that happened to Paul because of his ministry that did not make sense. Damascus was the start because Jesus tells him through Ananias that you're going to suffer much for my sake. Just didn't make sense. And so I'm sure it's a comfort to know the opposition coming before you that you can get ready for it. It doesn't matter what happens in this presidency. You are to be the rock of Jesus Christ no matter if it's one or the other. Whether your candidate got in or not, it doesn't matter. You are going forward. And here's the good news. You're not greater than your master. And so if Jesus had to go through it, and then Paul, who is another teacher and a leader, had to go through it, how much more do we have to go through it? Since Jesus suffered, so will you. Be prayed up. Be filled up. Are you filled up in that Holy Spirit? Is he encouraging your ways? Is he leading your ways? Is he giving you the power, the terror of God? God, I need you. It's a surrender heart. It's what it all is. So you have the fear of God. Here's another motivator, the love of God. This is the one we really like. But we make the love of God what the love of God isn't. So let's look at verse 14 and understand a little bit more of what the love of God is. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. compels. That's to hold together, pressed into action. It's like when water is forced through a small pipe and it goes through a hydraulic process. The pressure and the power of that water is incredible. Underline that, compel. That's a really good word there. The love of Christ compels us. How do you do that, Paul? How does that love of Christ, you know, I love God, and it's just going to compel me, and it's going to press me out of my lethargy, and it's going to drive me, it's going to take me over. Is that what it is? Is Paul saying, I love Jesus so much that I have to serve him? I'm afraid to get that question. Actually, it's not what he's saying. It's not what he's saying. He's not saying, I love Jesus so much that I have to serve him. What he's saying is that the love God has for me is so powerful, I have to serve him. Loved ones, if we turn it on its edge and we see what that's really about. You see, my love for God fluctuates. Anyone here? Anyone's here not stuck at awesome as far as loving God? Come on, don't leave me hanging here. I got two. Okay, some of you are honest. Amen. It goes up and down. We are in the midst of circumstances. And here, Paul is telling, look, it's not your love for God. It's God's love for you that makes you fall apart. As Freedom comes up here and sings about the love of God, and she can't go on anymore because I'm overtaken by it. It's not about what's going on in her life. It's about what God's doing through his love. That's powerful. And so Paul's writing to us as a man. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what I've done to Christ's followers? I should have been cast out a long time ago. I should have been cut off a long time ago. But Jesus loved me so much that he pulled me out of that. I have no other choice but to get back up and go forward in that power, in that motivator called the love of Christ. Wow. See, when the path of the Creator crosses and intersects your heart, you get changed. The Creator of the universe is that powerful. So he takes someone so low, he takes someone so worthless, so undeserving, and he gives him anything. He gives her everything. And when I think about how much he loves me in spite of myself, I have to serve him. I have to go forward. I can't stop. That's it. That's the motivation that will last the lifetime. That will keep you coming forward into the door of hope found in Jesus Christ, no matter what you feel or what you've done. Because you will raise back up and say, God, I know what you've done for me. Forgive me. Move on. Strengthen me. Move on. Give me the wisdom, God. My love for Christ can't be coming close to that. It just can't. It fluctuates. Ups and downs. Ups and downs. But Christ's love is steady. He didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. He will never tease you with it. It's perfect. In 1 John, we learn all about that. I told you about the love chapter in 1 John chapter 4. Go ahead and read that. You want to know what real love of God is about. 1 John chapter 4, knowing all about God's love. Read the whole letter. It's not that long. Every single person listening this morning needs a constant refreshing of the reality of the perfect love of God. Motivators, fear of God, that's good. Love of God, wonderful in its right understanding. Now hold your place there. You know, you don't have to hold your place. I'm not coming back. Let's go over to Galatians. We're going to look at the next motivator. Head over to Galatians chapter 6. I want to look at the motivator called the cross of Christ. Now this is a very important motivator, as we sometimes think it's, oh, it's just something I know, the cross. I understand the cross. But we don't always use it as a motivator. Let's read Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. Head on in. See that what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The cross of Christ, it never is going to come beyond that. The power of the cross, the power of the gospel will never lose its fire. And if you grab hold of that, no matter you, it's not elementary. It's not like, oh, I've heard that before, Pastor. Give me something new and exciting. The gospel is the power for all of you for all the age. I love to be in Pentecostal world and we get the fire of the Holy Spirit and we start tongue talking. We go out there. We love that energy. But loved ones, too many of us have fallen away to the blessings of the gospel. We forgot it. And we don't let the gospel work. We begin to work in our own flesh. We need to back it up, go back to the gospel, be refilled in the Holy Spirit and say, God, I want all of you all the time. One thing we boast in, it's the cross. It's the gospel. Now, if I asked you to come up here and share the gospel. Want me to do that? Who should I count? Some of you are like, please don't. Yeah, some of you are like, call him. I should be able to talk with any of you who've been following Christ for more than 6 months and come on up here and tell me in a simple statement of 5-6 sentences what the cross and the gospel mean. You need to understand the gospel enough to tell the gospel. There's sin in the world. There's a holy God who accounts for sin. And sin has broken your relationship with that God. Every one of you have been born with it. So you have no way of fixing that problem. But guess what? God loved you so much that he sent his son who lived the perfect life that you couldn't live. And then he hung on a cross and said, come to me and be washed in the blood that cleanses all sin. So then you repent, you believe, and you embrace by faith and walk. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And when people realize I'm a sinner who needs a savior, they're ready to hear what you have to say. So I want to tell you what the gospel is. Here's my life. I was this. Now because of Jesus, I am this. Do we have that story? Do we have that energy? Do we have the simplicity of telling people the gospel? Paul doesn't boast in anything. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the 8th day. He was the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had the culture. He had the background. He had the family. He had the education. He had everything to please God. He was perfect in the law. Anybody want to raise up next to that? Because he threw it in the trash can. He threw it in the trash can. He said it's rubbish compared to that cross of Christ. Jesus Christ is awesome and he came into the world to save sinners and everything else compared to that one thing. Anyone getting motivated around here? Anybody getting stirred up a bit? Stay on that because Paul was making the main thing the main thing. And so I walk out of here, my family's a mess, and my political situation's a mess, and my economic situation's a mess, and my body's breaking down. You're getting a new body, by the way. Some of you are like, praise God. And I hope it has a lot of hair. I don't know. How many here don't boast in the cross, though, but they hide in shame? How many come across an opportunity to speak about that gospel, and you get scared? I've done that. Let me just be the first to be truth here, all right? I've had that. I knew God was saying something. I walked away. You ever feel that? I should have said something. But you don't have to have that as part of the way of your life, at work, at school, in the community. The one thing that gives you everything, the gospel, the life, the hope, the victory. You don't have to be shamed if you forgot once, but you can now know. And say, I'm going to do that next time. And you will be blessed. It may be hard at first. It may be difficult. I don't know if I can do that. But I'm not just talking about inviting someone to church. I'm just telling someone, tell them your story. Tell them the gospel. Tell them they're a sinner. That problem in their life is because of the sin in their life. And it's okay. Because if they respond, they will see the Savior and want Him in their life. So the cross of Christ. I got one more motivator here for you. A little couple verses earlier. This is a good one in Galatians chapter 6. Let's see if you can catch it. Here it is, Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill, here it is, the law of Christ. There's a motivator. What about the law of Christ? That law of Christ. Does that mean I gotta go back to the Old Testament and figure out all those laws and do this and don't do that and kill this animal on this day and this? That's not what it's talking about. John 13:34 says this. This is Jesus speaking. The law of Christ, a new commandment I give to you. Here it is. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. We're supposed to love one another. This is a huge thing. And it doesn't always work in church that that's an easy thing because we're really good at commenting on other people's issues. But I'll tell you what, in the walk of Christ, if you're getting on this and you're loving one another, you are rocking it as a Christian. You are rocking it. It doesn't matter what the people do to you, who they are. You have a compassion that is of Christ. Here's a prayer for you if you struggle. Lord, give me eyes to see them as you see them. Lord, help me to see her. Lord, help me to see him as you see them. That love then begins to flow through you. And this is what separates us from every other do-gooder club that's out there. The love for one another. Because you know what? All the people who are out there doing good deeds and they go home, they don't really care. They just did their good deed. It was for them. But when you begin to love somebody that's hard to love, it isn't for you. It's for them. And it's for God. To love one another. The love is the litmus test for this congregation, and it will always be how we are loving one another to be how fired up we are for Jesus Christ. And so don't be looking around and raising your eyes at somebody, looking down your nose. And I'm not saying you all do that here, but it's potentially there for all of us. But when we see Jesus Christ and we see them as Christ's creation and someone who needs the love not only of Christ but of me, we can't fail at this. We can't fail at this. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now these are some motivators. I could get a few more of those out there, but I don't want to overwhelm you. I think if we can get these four, I believe we can go forward. We're having a season of Thanksgiving and celebration into the Christmas season. There's a lot of ups and downs for some people. Sometimes that's hard, especially if you lost somebody this year. But you know what? When you're motivated by the fear of the Lord and by the love of the Lord and by the law of Christ, and by loving one another, the law of Christ, loving one another, there is a power in that that will get you through any instances of hurt and shame and problems that is ahead of you. And so I just want to ask, maybe we can take a moment and just bow our heads. And I'm going to have someone come up and play piano if you might. It's just a time of reflection. And am I what is that number that I started out with? What was that number? And what was my direction that I was hopefully being truthful with God? And let's see which direction we can go this week. In spite of all that is going on. And it might not just be the election. It might be something within your own family, your own body. Maybe see what that number is and where do you want it to be. Maybe see what direction that is and see which direction you want it to be. And let's get a little motivated this week. I'm just going to pray for a sweet filling of the Holy Spirit for you. If you want to come forward and we can lay hands on you, I'll be glad to. You can sit where you're at. We're just going to pray blessings of God's power upon your life. Father God, I thank you that we can hear the truths of your word. And Lord, you tell us in Ephesians 5 that we should not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, we understand those words to mean it's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing walk. Lord, I've been really filled up at one time. I remember I was the one that was called zealous. I was the one that was on fire. I was the one everybody says, whoa, you're really fired up about God. But I've cooled. The direction I'm going isn't hotter, it's cooler. God, I pray over that person. I ask that you fill them up afresh. I ask that they receive all that you have for them. Not if you will this, God, but I want this, God. I want to go forward. Of course you will us to go forward. For those who know that you're saying something in their lives, something very specific, and you're resisting, God, open the mind of that one, open the heart of that one, that they will do anything for you, that they will choose anything for you. Lord, I thank you that you're so willing to go to the darkest, deepest spots of our lives and shine the light of Christ to those spots. Fill that person with your Holy Spirit to give the courage to go where you want them to go. Lord, for the one that's not knowing what this is all about, maybe this God thing, I've been hearing about it and I just don't have that relationship yet. Lord, can you finally let them surrender? Bow the knee and receive the new birth that is called being a born-again Christian. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Empower them with the giftings to be a joyous follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, for those who have just been quiet in their faith, I know it's been said that we go out there and share the gospel and maybe we'll open our mouths once in a while, but God, we need to speak up. God, give us the courage. Give that one who has been meek and in the background and in the shadows a courage this week. Challenge them with an opportunity to share the gospel verbally. Lord, it's so fulfilling to see an unsafe human being come to you. That's a motivator right there. Lord, fill that person with the joy and courage of your Holy Spirit's power upon them. Let them receive it fully. Let them put aside the way the world looks at me. Seems to be more important. I want to know what you think of me and see me as Jesus. Lord, it is a good thing to follow after your ways. I don't know anybody who's regretted that. And so may each person here, whatever it is you're speaking to them, be motivated to go forward in their walk. You are so good, God. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you are loved, and God bless you.